Bhakta, prvo pitanje je do koje mjere je hendikepiran Bhakta koji svoje predano služenje ne bazira na mangalarotiku i ranom matanju svojih krugova?
Well, levels. Which level is a devotee handicapped to if he doesn't attend Mangalarti and chant early in the morning? Well, levels of bhakti or levels of advancement towards the highest level of bhakti, which is Krishna Prema, is described by Rupa Goswami, Ado Shraddha Tataha Sadhu Sangha Tata Bhajana Kriya. That the first three levels are having faith, associating with devotees, and engaging in the practical activities of devotional service, taking up Krishna consciousness seriously. Then next is Anartha Nivritti. By doing this, one becomes free of unwanted things, obstacles in the process of devotional service, and then on and on from there. So the process of bhajana kriya, the more that is followed, then the more one will be able to advance to the higher stages. If this isn't executed very seriously, then obviously to go to the higher stages will not happen. So bhajana kriya, I mean, these are basic activities that Srila Prabhupada emphasized: attending Mangalarti, chanting 16 rounds. It may be at some point that one can be Krishna conscious without these. At some point. Oh, you're supposed to translate, right? Oh, no?
Well, I'm translating, but I can't really hear properly.
Why is that?
Because my hearing is bad.
That's a difficult one to solve right now.
Well, yes,
there are other translators.
Yeah.
Vijayanayak, yeah, you're too tired or out of touch with Hrvatsky.
Yeah.
No, you're speaking all the time in South India.
No.
Sorry, I forgot. No, I know. Anyway, sorry. I'm also confused. I'm also jet-lagged. So, yeah, these are the basic activities which Srila Prabhupada emphasized. Yeah, I was going to say that it may be that there comes a point in maturity when one is not able to do these things due to sickness or so. I'm just thinking of Sridhar Maharaj, our God brother, who the last time I saw him told me, I haven't chanted 16 rounds for months. He was not physically, no. He wasn't seen in Mangalarti, although he used to be when he was healthy enough, but then later he didn't. But he was Krishna conscious. So, but normally if one is in sufficient health, then one should follow these things for the sake of one's own spiritual advancement. Otherwise it will be difficult to come to the level of Anartha Nivritti if we don't properly execute the level of bhajana kriya. Yeah, what's the next question?
Sljedeće pitanje je, da li bi unutar zajednice iskona trebao postojati socijalni pritisak da se brakovi ne razvode olako?
Should there be social pressure in the ISKCON community not to divorce? Because devotees are getting divorced like a disease.
Well, social issues are complex, and this one is complex. So, I guess the answer should be yes, but exactly how, what, why, when, and where is probably too much to discuss right now off the top of my head. The Amish community, I think that's the right way of pronouncing it, are famous in America, in the East Coast, Pennsylvania. They have farm communities. They are Christians who follow. They live as their forefathers first founded the communities. That means they don't have modern machines. They only have machines. They farm with horses, and they only have the kind of machines that they can make locally. Very life as it was lived in the 18th century. They're still there. And they make their own clothes in that old style. And their life is based on being Christians of their, so in their community, they have, I don't think they have divorce at all. I don't think it happens. I'm not sure. But they have something called, you're talking about social pressure. They have what's called shunning. If you do something wrong, no one talks to you. So that may be, I don't know exactly the dynamics of it, how long or like that. So that may be in traditional Indian culture also. When a wife is upset with her husband, she doesn't talk to him. She serves him, cooks, everything, but just doesn't talk to him. She doesn't stop doing her duties, but she just doesn't talk to him when she's angry about something. That's one way. But how to apply that exactly in our society is difficult, because one thing is we don't have many devotees, and devotees are very valuable. Maybe it sounds crude, but if the whole society was devotees, then maybe it'd be more dispensable. It's a very crude way of putting it. One devotee, Mahadyuti Prabhu, I asked him about one devotee who had married or seduced someone else's wife, and then she divorced and got married, and he was serving in the town. I said, why are you having him serving in the town? I said, well, we have so few people who are willing and capable of doing service, and you want to engage everyone. That was his outlook. So it's complex. What should be done? Something should be done. It should be discussed by the leaders of our movement. Shivram Maharaj in Hungary, as you know, is setting up, attempting to set up. I was just speaking with him 3 days ago, and I was congratulating him on the success of his farm community. And he said, we'll know it's a success when the children of our devotees are out plowing the fields. He said, it's not a success yet. But we know that he has, not only in the farm community, but throughout ISKCON Hungary, he has very strict rules about marriage. You're not allowed to marry in the devotee community unless you are prepared to accept their rules, which are very heavy against divorce. You have to sign a legal document that, I don't know exactly what it is, but like you lose all your money or something if you get divorced or something, I don't know, but it's very, very heavy restriction. The thing is that in modern society it's so easy both legally to get divorced, I don't know in this country, but in countries like Britain and America and Canada, you can, it's just like you just get a lawyer and do it. And
And even if the other partner is not agreeable, it just happens. Especially if the woman wants, and they can always say, all I have to do is say in many places that my husband's, there's this thing, psychological abuse, which is extremely nebulous. You know what nebulous means? It means vague and undefined. And you can just say psychological. Doesn't shout at me, doesn't beat me, but I don't like the way he looks at me sometimes. Okay, divorce. It's grounds for divorce. Really? It's so demoniac. So it's so easy in Kami society to get to, in the society the broader society, the rules they have, and there's no sorry, my brain's half dead. It's usually half dead. It's three quarters dead now. There's no deterrent. Like in traditional society, if people got married, like you said, that'd be very strong social. That would be considered something. It would be considered socially reprehensible. But nowadays, it's just considered normal. So, in fact, it's almost encouraged by the laws that like unmarried women, they get money from the government. The men are out working, well, and they get taxed, and so much money goes to unmarried women who get money from the government to sit with their children, which don't care for their husband because they get money from the government. So they may say, well, better not to have a husband. They get money anyway. But if you have, just like Prabhupada said about Mahatma Gandhi, there's some story he told that he fought with his wife. He threw his wife out of the house. Get out! So kicked her out on the street. She had nowhere to go, so she had to come back. He said, all right, come back home. So, but we live in a different society, in a different world. One thing is that marriage traditionally is a religious sacrament. It's considered a contract that's taken in the name of God, with the blessings of God, and therefore it's considered a sin to break it. So this kind of understanding should be there. We were just discussing how the soul is eternal and the body is not, therefore we give up attachment to the body. But this is so much misunderstood in social issues in our movement. Everyone's saying, we're all just completely transcendental. All you have to do is walk in the door of the Hare Krishna temple and put on some tilak and you become transcendental to everything. And you're a liberated soul. And you don't have to follow any Varnashram rules or any rules of any kind. You don't even have to go to Mangalati that we were just discussing, because you're liberated. And so there are misunderstandings. According to our level, we should work. If you get married in the first place, a divorce means you have to get married. If you're so transcendental, then how come you got married in the first place? So there are many points of misunderstanding prevalent in our society. So it's a sacred contract, and it's sinful to break that. And to think that a devotee can't do any sin, or that anyway it doesn't matter if he does anything wrong because he chants Hare Krishna. So these are misunderstandings. Education is required. And a lot of work is needed in community building also. As I was saying, if you're getting married means that there are material desires. That's no one's condemned for having material desires, but society needs to be organized in such a way that one can live with those material desires and take to the process of Krishna consciousness and become purified. So again, as I was saying, Srila Prabhupada, he saw the need for these Varnashram communities, because in living in modern society, which is most unfavorable atmosphere for Krishna consciousness, then it's very difficult for devotees to be in transcendental consciousness. And to, by the bad association and by the whole pressure of modern life and having to work so hard, I don't think that's come in Croatia so much yet. This whole atmosphere of working, having to work very, very hard, everyone's working. In Germany, the traffic jams at 7 o'clock in the morning in all the cities, people going to work. Most of the people go to the work at that time. They work from 8 in the morning till 6 in the evening. And in India it's worse. In India people are working very long hours. But in Croatia, especially on the Adriatic coast, people are literally laid back. So the Germans, they work hard and then they come, and the Croatians just take their money and so they can lie on the Adriatic beach. So who's more intelligent? But people don't have time in modern life. They're so busy. And there are so many distractions. So this, again, setting up our own communities is required. It's not an easy thing. Once it's allowed, then all disaster, as you're seeing. One does, and another does, and another does, and then it just becomes normal. And someone introduces, and here's my wife. Oh, but she looks different from before. And, oh no, what's her name? Oh, wasn't the other one that? No, that was 2 wives ago. It's not, it becomes normal, as in karma society, but it's not good. Anyway. I can speak a lot about this. I have spoken a lot about this. I suppose I have to go on speaking more and more. I was speaking with Shivaram Maharaj. Unexpectedly, we were on the same flight. It was a long flight, a daytime flight from Delhi to Munich. So we spoke quite a lot, and we're both writing books. So he's writing books about Krishna Lila. I told him I'm more in the basement department. I said that's also needed. I said, I'd like to write books like that too, but we have to fill up the we have to keep the basement in order. So this book I have, Glimpses of Traditional Indian Life, gives some help in understanding how human civilization should be lived, which in the present human civilization the knowledge is completely lacking of how modern life. We have machines by which you can fly from Delhi to Munich in 8 hours or something, machines for doing practically everything, but no one knows how to live as a human being. No one knows what it means to be a human being. They think that the discharging the bodily functions of a human being, namely the bodily functions of a human being, are putting things in through the holes and passing them out. And they think that's what a human being is. Things go in and they go out, and that's all there is to being a human being. They don't know what it means to be a human being. So, and our devotees also don't, unless there's education in that, then they don't either. So, unless we have our basics in order, then how are we going to go up to higher levels? It'll simply be imagination. That's called sahajaism, when you imagine you're on a very high level, but you don't have the basic understanding or basic behavior. So, this book will be useful for understanding what human civilization is. Then, any other question?
Da li je moguće da netko opstane u procesu bhakti joge mnogo godina, iako je njegovo predano služenje motivirano materijalnim željama, slava, prestiž, novac i tako dalje?
Yes. It may be that one commits offenses and falls away, or it may be that one is purified of these desires, depending on the association and how Krishna's mercy can. There may come some realization that one is pursuing these things, but he has then, by practicing devotional service, he has some realization. Like Dhruva Maharaj, that happened. He had material desire, but he had great faith in the process given to him by Narad Muni, and he followed it very seriously, so he became purified. Therefore that verse is there: akama sarva kama va moksha kama udara dhi tivrena bhakti yogena yajeta purusham param. That whether one is with all desires, no desires, or desires for liberation, one should practice devotional service very seriously. Tivra. Srila Prabhupada explains this means like the concentrated sunlight. Just like you get a magnifying glass, the sunlight becomes so concentrated that with the magnifying glass you can burn paper. Isn't it? Have you seen that? If you shine the magnifying glass, catch the sun, and the paper will start burning. It becomes so hot. So that's the example of Tivrapa. So it doesn't mean that this verse does not mean, as some devotees take it, or something resembling devotees takes it to mean, that you just perform devotional service with material desire. No. If you have whatever situation, practice very concentratedly. So if you practice very concentratedly, even if you do so with material desires, then the purification will come. But if you don't practice concentratedly, and you're concentrating more on developing your material desires, and the bhakti is on the side somewhere, then that won't be very purifying. Some purification will be there, but if the overwhelming motive is for material desires, then one may become offensive towards devotees or the process of devotional service, or one may go on because he finds it's good. I get what I want. He may do that. He may be able to go on. But even in that case, some purification may be there also. It depends. Okay, we're talking about generalizations here. It may be that out of material desire, one does something very valuable for Krishna also, at the same time. One may be motivated by the desire for glorification and therefore builds lots of temples or some good temple, or makes lots of disciples because, I want to be a big guru. But at the same time, to do that, to build a big temple, you're making facility for people to come and serve Krishna, even if the motive is not completely pure. So it, this question, it's a general question, but each case will be different. Krishna is very merciful also. So even if people perform devotional service with material desires, Krishna tends to take the good side, just like with Putana. She had, at some point in her previous life, she had some desire to serve Krishna, even though she didn't know he was Krishna. Ratnamala, the sister of Bali Maharaj, when she saw Vamandev, she thought, oh, what a nice young boy. Whoever is his mother must be very fortunate to suckle him at her breast. I would like to do, I would like to have such a son also. I'd like to feed my breast milk. Motherly feeling, even though she was demoniac by nature. But some motherly feeling was there also. But then when she saw he's Vishnu and she took he took everything away, then she wanted to kill him. Her desire changed. And so she got the chance in the next life to attempt to kill Krishna. She was killed by Krishna, which by doing so Krishna nullified all her offenses. And remembering her desire to serve him, even though she didn't know that he was Vishnu, Krishna gave her the position of Dhatri, which means wet nurse. Do you know what that means? Means one who suckles mother, not the direct mother, but anyway she feeds the child her breast milk. Now this isn't recommending maturely motivated devotional service, but it's saying that in any way we can take to Krishna consciousness, that will be for our benefit. Although the purpose of this movement is to promote pure devotional service, and maturely motivated devotional service often leads to offenses. So really the focus of this movement has to be on pure devotional service. Again, with Varnashram, Prabhupada wanted, by setting up Varnashram communities, to arrange facility for people at various levels. Prabhupada even spoke of people who they're not fit for chanting. Okay, plow the fields for Krishna. Work for Krishna. So Srila Prabhupada was very concerned to engage as many people as possible in devotional service. So there's always a tension between extending the mercy and engaging people widely, as many people as possible, and keeping up a high standard. You want to engage as many people as possible, but if there's no, if you just bring the level down, then there's very little. You engage many people, but they may not get much benefit from it, as there would be if high standards are promoted. So again, Varnashram means the head of society should be Brahmanas, those who show the ideal, and others can look up to them and aspire to follow, to come up to that level. Yeah, any other question?
Why that, even that we know the material enjoyment is not real and is cause of suffering, and we are experiencing this all the time, and we also try to experience the nectar of Krishna consciousness, but we are still attached to sense gratification. Why we are still attached to sense gratification? Takže pýtanie glasy, čak ako známo, da je materiálne užívanie ovom svietu nie stvarno i da je zapravo uzrok patne. I to celé vrijeme iskušavamo, zapravo smo iskusili. I čak iako smo probali, doživjeli nektar u svjesnosti Krišne, zašto smo još onda uvijek vezani za to uživanje u osjetilima?
Well, you tell me. It's not my fault. What's the reason? It's not my fault. Because we're fools and we're rascals. That's why we're here in this material world. We're such fools and such rascals that janiya shunya bisha kainu, even knowing that human life is made for worshipping Radha and Krishna, we don't, so we knowingly drink poison. So we should go on with the process of Krishna consciousness. Anyway, what should we do? We should go on, even in our crippled state. But let us try. We have to try to give up the material. Even if we can admit we're fools. If we admit we're fools and rascals, that's good. That at least we know we're fools and we're rascals, and we need to become rectified. But then the endeavor has to be there to be rectified. We have to try. Trying means following this standard process of Krishna consciousness, associating with advanced devotees, and trying by praying and fully engaging in Krishna consciousness and saying no to sense gratification when desires for material enjoyment come. No. Let me think. What does my spiritual master want me to do? What does Prabhupada want me to do? What does Krishna want me to do? We may fail due to being fools and rascals, but then again we have to try. What else is there to do? Then, anything else? Yeah. Okay. Alright, say it in English and then it can be.
I have a question regarding this point you mentioned in previous answers, regarding this tension between making the movement and the knowledge more accessible and at the same time keeping the high standards.
Yeah.
I'm thinking about two points. So, Prabhupada used this analogy that when there is a war time, that we should pick those who are most the less injured, so to say, because there is a lack of qualified doctors, so we have to pick those who can really quickly get the coverage. And this sounds that he wanted to access the mercy to new people to get knowledge. At the same time, I think about this quote, letter from Chopra, he writes that we should boil the milk.
Mm.
So my point is I very much want to stress this point to
boil the milk.
The strength of the devotees who are already there.
Not put water in it.
Yes. So, I'm asking you really personally if you can give some advice regarding the preaching strategy, because it is obvious that our strength is limited, and that somehow we may be lacking the target, preaching target, especially in Krishna. I don't want to think about other times. So can you give some advice? What should be our primary target in preaching? Should we make the knowledge more accessible to some new people?
Moje pitanje vezano za ovu poantu da postoje tenzija između toga da se znanje da približi što većem broju ljudi, istovremeno drže visoki standardi svjesnosti Krišne. Razmišljao sam o dvije poante. Jedna je da je Šila Prabhupada rekao da kad je ratno vrijeme i nedostatak dovoljnog broja kvalificiranih doktora, da treba spasti one koji su najmanje ranjeni da se mogu što prije oporaviti. I to mi na neki način zvuči kao poziv da se ide propovijedati na van. S druge strane, Šila Prabhupada je rekao da trebamo skukati mlijeko dok je još masno i debelo, ne ga razvodnjavati, drugim riječima držati propovijedati onim baktama koji su već ovdje. Stoga pitanje za Maharadža, kako on osobno vidi, pošto smatram da je naš kapacitet propovjedanja, odnosno širenja misije u Hrvatskoj ograničen, da ne možemo obuhvatiti sve, mene zanima kako on vidi koja je naša meta za propovjedanje u Hrvatskoj. Da li učiniti pokret dostupnim novim ljudima, kvalitetnim ljudima, da li se pobrinuti za one bakte koji su već ovdje, da li raditi i jednu i drugu stvar ili nešto treće, onako možemo o to razjasniti.
Yeah, both should go on. Both are required to go on. Unless we have outgoing preaching, then how will people, the movement to benefit others, how will, that must go on. to give this knowledge to human society widely. That must go on. And without that, if we simply study and do our own sadhana, we won't feel enlightenment anyway. On the other hand, if we're only going out and preaching and we don't cultivate our own spiritual lives, then we don't feel the upliftment or the nourishment that gives us the encouragement to go on preaching. So both should go on side by side. And actually the standard program that Srila Prabhupada gave us covers everything, doesn't it? We have sadhana. I'm talking about temple devotees here, because although preaching may and is done by congregational devotees also, but when it comes to, you say about boiling the milk and preaching widely, but congregational devotees, they don't have that much time. Whereas temple devotees, they should be setting the ideal, and they presumably in the extra time they have, they can, for devotional practices, they should be able to, in course of time, they should be very learned in the philosophy and studying deeply, and in this way able to benefit the congregational members more. So, well, for everyone also, everyone, congregational members, they should study, they should chant, and help with preaching also. Yes, yeah, so for everyone, both things should go on side by side. Yeah. And when you're asked about preaching strategies, well, that should be considered. That here we are, we're in Croatia, or wherever we may be. This is the situation of our movement at the present time. Where do we want to be? Where do we think? What's our ultimate goal? The ultimate goal should be the whole of Croatia is Krishna conscious. There's no, everyone should be chanting Hare Krishna. That's the ultimate goal. So we have to see, is that a practical goal for us to consider? Of course, anything can happen by the mercy of Lord Chaitanya, but we also have to apply our intelligence. How to how that can come about. So what's required for that? Then you have to consider, then we need book distribution, festival programs, and we have to how to make devotees, cultivate the people, bring them up, when they've come up, how to keep them going and not fall away. And there's so many things to be considered. So there can be plans, strategies, all these things should be there. And things can go on in a kind of haphazard way, but if there's some planning, obviously that would be better. Yeah, so please. Get the mic again.
When I'm thinking about boiling the milk, I'm not thinking just to focus internally, but to build the to show the example, because we see that we are just presenting the knowledge, but at the same time, as you said, we are lacking the basement program. We lost first generation in Croatia of devotees. We don't have first generation practically. So what you are actually preaching to the people, because people want to see concrete results. Yeah. So I was thinking boiling the milk in the sense of making something concrete which people can recognize, that there is something solid, you know, not just some theoretical knowledge, some philosophy like that, but something in that sense. Not, and that idea is that if we build some community of happy devotees, enthusiastic devotees, then
that's
they will preach.
That's what I was talking about, yeah. Isn't it? Yeah. Translate?
No,
you already translated?
No.
Alright. But you can do also. when if this discussion is going to go on further. No, ono što sam mislio kad sam rekao sluhati mlijeko nije bilo samo da se fokusiramo interno, nego da izgradimo zajednicu, da smo konkretni primjer, jer vidimo da u Hrvatskoj, na primjer, mi smo izgubili prvu generaciju bakta, stoga kad idemo van i samo propovjedamo, možda gledajte, samo nudimo neku teoriju, filozofiju, ali ne nešto konkretno. Stoga kad ideja, ukoliko izgradimo zajednicu sretnih zagovornih bakta, onda će oni biti primjer za propovjedanje sam za sebe, bez nekih dodatnih napora, to ono sam htio.
Yeah, I also feel that without these farm communities, then it'll be the, as Sahotra Maharaj used to say, the ISKCON tube. People come in, they go along for some time, and then they fall out the other end. So, unless we have supportive communities, it's going to be difficult to show the example and help to develop and encourage people. It's not such an easy thing to develop such communities either. When Srila Prabhupada said 50% of my work is to be done, and we consider what Prabhupada did, then that other 50% is a big proposal. But it's a challenge. Let's go for it. All right. Anything else?
You mentioned in the last question that our goal should be the cooperation of transcreation of consciousness.
Translate, is your...
Can
you hear?
Yes. Yeah. It's hard to simultaneously, because if I speak, then I cannot hear you, so I'm not crazy.
Okay. But how are you doing it with me?
There's the loud speaker, and you're speaking with forward and there.
Okay. Slow down, man.
Okay, so Srila Prabhupada sometimes said devotees also asked, so we will preach until everybody becomes Krishna conscious, and Srila Prabhupada said no, only the fortunate ones. So he was implying sometimes that never everybody will become Krishna conscious. That's not realistic plan. And also sometimes when devotees spoke about increasing the numbers and like that, he said, no, our duty is just to preach the message as we have it, not to change anything, to make it easier and so on, just to preach whatever we received from disciple succession, and whatever results we get, that's up to Krishna.
Yes. Yeah, and sometimes he talked about, often he also spoke about making everyone Krishna conscious. So both things are there. We should go to shoot the rhinoceros. That example is there. We should try, even though it's very difficult thing. It's very difficult to shoot a rhinoceros dead, because most of the body where you hit it, the bullet will just bounce off, because it has skin so thick that a bullet will bounce only in just between the eyes or something if you hit it. So it's a dangerous job. So we should try for that. He also said in regard to our own spiritual development that we should He gave the example of trying to pass an academic examination. If you try to pass in the first grade, I'll get top marks, then at least you'll probably pass, at the very least, if you're really trying seriously for that. But if you think, well, I'll just do enough so that I can just pass, then you'll probably fail. So if we try to make the whole world Krishna conscious, we're likely to be more successful in making people Krishna conscious than if we think that, well, if we make 10 or 12 new devotees a year, that's okay. So, Prabhupada was highly ambitious. and for Krishna. And sometimes he would caution also that, you know, not everyone will become Krishna conscious. But he definitely had a vision of a world being highly, the world would be highly influenced when many people, he spoke of whole countries becoming Krishna conscious. He spoke of millions joining our farms. And actually I could visualize this. If we had our farm communities together in the Western world, at least, where many people would join. Mahatapa Prabhu, maybe some of you remember him. Is he a first generation or just, no, second generation? Anyway, he's doing very well in America now. And he's making lots of devotees, brahmacharis, which is hardly going on in America. As far as I know, there's only two other centers in America where they're making brahmacharis, or maybe three. Where they have a program to make and train up and send them out preaching. So he was writing to me, he was inviting me to the Rainbow Gathering, which is like a hippie gathering in America, which takes place every year. They're going to have it in Bosnia soon, right? Something like that. But I replied to him that, well, if we had our farm community, he was talking about how they have to go halfway across America, no, the whole way across America to attend it. And I was saying that if we had our farm communities together, we wouldn't have to go to such communities because we'd be too busy with these kind of people are the people who would join our farm communities. He's going there every day, every time they go, they make devotees. They bring people back to their temples. It's a great field for making devotees. I was saying, if we had our farm communities together, they'd come and they would join this kind of person. They'd come and check it out and see. Of course, not every rainbow gathering attendee would join, but significant numbers would. I feel like that if we did have our act together, that if we, as you were saying, if we could show that, as Prabhupada often said, you can live happily in Krishna consciousness. You can have a nice wife and a nice family and nice home, nice food. You can have all these things and live a pure, clean life with the prospect of a better future. Who will not want to take to such a life? With clean air and clean food. Who will not want? So many, many people, there is opportunity. And I feel, certainly Croatia, as you all know, Croatia is a country with a relatively small population, is probably more devotees per population per head than any other country in the world. So definitely there's great scope here also.
Maybe everyone knows the answer to my question.
Please get the mic over here. If it reaches.
Is human soul good or bad? If it is good, why can we do then bad things? And if it is bad, why or can we become good after all?
Yeah. Okay. Well, first of all, it's not human soul. Yeah, the soul. Did you say human soul? Yeah. The soul, wherever there is life, there is soul. There is a soul. In the plants, in the animals, the birds, the fish, and all of them. There's no life without the soul. Jivat. Is that the word in... Jivat. Jivat. It comes from Sanskrit, jiva, which means soul. It literally means living.
What's the word jiva means? Jiva means life, is it?
Yeah.
Life, yeah. So, matter cannot give rise to life, as is taught as science in the modern educational system. Well, it's not science, because science means it should be demonstrable. It's a theory with absolutely no basis in observation. Science should be based on... It's just an idea of atheistic people that life arises from... Life is a product of matter. This is elaborately dealt with in Srila Prabhupada's book. Life comes from life. Where he shows that matter comes from life, not that life comes from matter. So it's not a human soul, but wherever there is life, there is the soul. No amount of chemical manipulation can give rise to life. That the seed becomes transformed into a tree is possible because of the presence of the soul. The soul is by nature good. The soul is a tiny part and parcel of God who is all good. There is no such thing as a bad soul. But every soul, being a conscious living being, another symptom of the basic symptom of life is consciousness. Matter is not conscious. The soul is conscious. So, consciousness means there is desire. Desire to interact with others. The soul is awarded by God the minute independence, either to serve Him, to serve God and be happy in that state, or not to, to try to make oneself an independent enjoyer. So if the soul chooses not to serve, then he comes to this material world and becomes bad. The desire to exist separately from Krishna is the root of all evil, of all badness. All badness expands from that. And within this world, there are good people and bad people. This is, of course, is a great simplification. But good means those who are inclined toward God. And bad means those who are not. And inclined toward God means in a realistic way, because often people take in the name of God they do all kinds of bad things. Just like this famous example of the 9/11. In the name of Allah, Masha Allah, in the name of Allah. You know that also here, right? Bosnian people, they must say that?
Yeah. No.
So, in the name of Allah, the twin towers came pop, 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 one after the other, and there were no more towers left. And it appears that, so that's considered something very bad, done in the name of God. And it appears that Mr. Bush has some idea that in the name of Christ, that, yeah,
what he's doing in Iraq is good. Although probably most of the Iraqi people would disagree. So what it means to be religious, that should also be properly understood. Dharmasya hi apavargyasya. Religion is not meant for invoking the name of God to fulfill our perverted desires, but understanding what He wants and acting accordingly. That is a summary. It's a big topic. While you're studying the Krishna consciousness movement, you can consider that to really understand it, you have to enter into it. To understand what is Krishna consciousness, it's not something that can be understood only theoretically. You could do a PhD on honey. How is honey produced? It's quite mystical, actually. Yeah. The bees, they take pollen, and it's like how grass turns into milk. Ask the scientists to make a cow machine. You put the grass in and milk comes out. They can't do it. So how is honey produced? Different varieties of honey. What are the medicinal effects of honey? You could do so many things, but you still wouldn't know what it tastes like unless you actually put it on your tongue. Right? So to actually understand Krishna consciousness, one can study it, but to really understand it, one has to enter into it. And Krishna consciousness is not presented as a theoretical academic subject. It can be studied academically, but it's meant to be practiced. All the teachings of Krishna consciousness, they're not meant simply for some psychological adjustment or sociological adjustment, but for adjustment at the deepest level of the person, or really understanding who the person is, which was the subject of the Bhagavad Gita verse that we read this evening. It is to understand who we are. That the body is temporary, the mind which we are presently, the mental state that we have, which goes with this body, that's also temporary. But we are eternal. We are the living force. The body is a conglomeration of chemicals which comes into being and very quickly dissipate or dies, and then it doesn't remain in that form. The chemical formation no longer remains, but that which gave life to the body, the soul, that existed before this body and will continue to exist afterwards. So who we are, Krishna consciousness, is self-realization. So to appreciate, one has to enter into that, one has to take it up personally. You can also consider that the teachings of Krishna consciousness begin with a call to the self, that who are you? And that question is for you also, not as you the student, but as you, the real you. Who are you? You don't know. Krishna consciousness. Well, first of all, never mind about Krishna consciousness. Just let's put that aside. Just philosophically. Here we're not talking about the kind of philosophy that people sit around in bars and talk philosophy when they're half drunk. And that's not the philosophy we're talking. Philosophy means
that every person should think, who am I? Why am I in this world? What's everything all about? Mostly we just float through life without considering these, which are the really important questions, isn't it? So this is for you also, not for you, the academic scholar who will get a degree from studying Krishna consciousness, but for you, the person, you require, whether you accept the answers given in Krishna consciousness, and we are confident that if you are actually intelligent and philosophically inclined, that you will find the best answers here. But as an intelligent, developed human being, because only though life is there, the soul is there in every species, but only in the human form do we have the intelligence to ask these questions and find the answers. So for you as a person, you also have to think, who am I? What is the purpose of life? Why is there suffering in this world? How can we transcend it? What happens after death? Who is God? Is there God? Who is He? What is our relationship with Him? So finding the answers to these questions is unlimitedly more important than getting a university degree. A university degree can only benefit you in a limited manner and only temporarily, because when you die, the degree doesn't help you in any way. It might help you for some time in this life. Although we find people with degrees driving vans around, for instance, it might not necessarily help you even materially. But in eternity, it won't help you. Nothing material. The best food, the biggest position, lots of money, nothing. None of these things can help us eternally. It's all like the bubble. The bubble is here, it's gone. So like that, our lives are here, gone. Whatever money we accrue, here, gone. Whatever knowledge or educational degrees we accrue, here, gone. Napoleon is France and France is Napoleon. So is said in France. France is there, where is Napoleon? Prabhupada. So he's maybe in France, who knows? You know, there's 8,400,000 species of life, of which many are in France. Although it's becoming less with all the modern techniques of farming. They're making various species go extinct. But Napoleon might be one of those snails they eat. Les cargos. You never know. So please consider this. Hare Krishna. We'll finish there. Is that alright? Anyone? Has anyone more questions? Alright. My visit to Croatia this year is shorter than usual. I'm happy to come, as I said, most of you weren't here at the beginning. Happy to come to this temple. It's a few years ago since I've been there. Impressive. Now you have to go further. Build. Everything in due course of time. Step by step. This is a good step.
Yeah, it's quite brief because for various reasons. I usually come to the West after Rath Yatra in India, but I'm coming and I have to get back for that though. So it's a bit tight. You wanted to say something? Dave Arshi?
One question. Sure.
The question can be short, but that doesn't mean the answer is. What is the purpose of life? And you could speak all day on that. Short question.
Ovo pitanje sam već pitao mnoge, ali mislim da sam jučer našao odgovor, svi sada na pravu i držao lekciju. Rečeno je da je Hiranjakašipu vršio velike strogosti, 100 godina po bogova. I jučer sam čuo da je u Puranama opisano da nakon što je osvojio svijet, cijeli univerzum, da je opet išao vršiti jedne kratke strogosti kad je zapravo bio začet prava. Pa sad ako možda on može reći Maharaj o tome da li je on čuo to iz neke Purane.
Who's going to translate? You want to translate from Prabhupada?
He said that
all
right, he's asking this question to the devotees and he wanted to see what he would use for it. And he said that if Hiranyakashipu was the people of prosperity for 100 years, and the devotees, and when he fired all the devotees, when he again went to the function of prosperity.
To get Prahlada to stand up.
Like some
shortcomings.
Yeah, I also thought about that.
I hear that he was one time was
well, we find in the that Hiranyakashipu himself was in the womb for how long? Is it 100 years?
Yes.
So. Like father, like son. The laws of nature, time and space, it appears from the Vedic descriptions that time and space and the physical laws don't necessarily function in the same way as we observe them in this planet. And although probably modern scientists would disagree with this, but what they observe from this plane are not necessarily universal laws. Maybe different in different places. By austerities one acquires powers to even on this even we see on this plane people acquire powers which defy the what are considered the normal laws. Therefore it's called paranormal. When someone just by looking at a spoon can bend it. You have people in Croatia that do that? There are not many people that do that. You never heard of that?
Yeah, but not from Croatia.
Yeah, there are all kinds of things. Just ESP, extrasensory perception. There's so many things that don't. There's enough of this going around in the world that in the USSR, from at least the 1960s, they had scientists seriously studying these things. The paranormal. So. It seems unlikely to us because we're educated, because of our education in which we're educated to think that what is presented to us as reality is real.
And that's all there is. And that what we observe is all that can possibly be, which is actually extremely foolish to think that we're tiny little beings on a tiny little planet with tiny little brains, and we think that we can make judgments about everything in existence. Foolish. Ask Divya Prabandha Prabhu about, you know, for instance, he's been doing cosmological research for the last year, assisting Dhanavir Maharaj. It's not a joke, he was. Serious, intense research into the scriptural descriptions of the universe. There are all kinds of things in there which seem to us to be, may seem to us to be ridiculous. There are four elephants holding up Bhumandala, pretty big elephants, for instance. We have in the Bhagavatam descriptions of trees millions of miles high. We can't imagine that. Doesn't mean it doesn't exist. For the ant, he can't imagine how big. He can be crawling on our body and not. Is he conscious that he's on a human body? I doubt. His intelligence and his sensory perception are too limited to know that, even though he is crawling on our body and we are feeling. What's that? I'm going to flick it off. What if you're a kami killer? But because we can't perceive any such thing, doesn't mean it doesn't exist. Or rather, it is likely that there are all kinds of things that we can't imagine which do exist, because why should we think that everything, everywhere, all over the universe and beyond the universe, it should be just like Croatia? Why? It's like in the 18th and 19th centuries, people were going from England and other countries to exploring Africa, and they came back talking about, like you're saying, rhinoceros. It's like they would describe a big pig and with a horn, and even if you shoot it, the bullets bounce off. And they're very tall animals with necks so long, and they eat leaves off the top of trees, giraffes. And in England, people heard this. They thought, in Africa, the sun's very hot, and they must have got sunstroke, and it's affected their brain. How can there be animals like that? We've seen chickens and pigs and dogs and ducks and cats and cows and goats and lambs, and that's about all there is in England. Yeah, there's a few more mice and rats and badgers and foxes and... That's about it. Did I say goats? So that's about it. And so there can't be any such animal as that. We never saw any animal like that. So it kind of, we're highly educated people. That's their foolishness.